Hey, I'm pounding you, pounding, pounding you. Two more sections and we're done. You can have refreshments, and then if whoever wants to stay for questions and comments can do so. Does everyone get that? Pretty straightforward. All right. Jesus, the greatest prophet. The Mohammedans acknowledge the Lord as the greatest prophet. Second, another quote from the writings. The Mohammedan religion acknowledges the Lord as the Son of God, the wisest of all men, and a very great prophet who came into the world to teach men. And most Mohammedans consider the Lord to be greater than Muhammad. Here is a quote that the guy who wrote the New Church article put referenced. We've believed in Allah. We believe in Allah and what has been revealed to Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, and Jacob, and the descendants, and what was given to Moses and Jesus, and what was given to the prophets from their Lord. We make no distinction among any of them. So that sounds like Jesus is nothing special. He did not reference this quote. These are the verses of Allah in which we recite unto you, O Muhammad, in truth. And indeed, you are one of the messengers. These messengers we endowed with gifts, some excelling others. To some of them Allah spoke, Muhammad, and some of them he exalted in rank. To Jesus, the son of Mary, we gave clear signs, miracles, and strengthened him with the Holy Spirit. To me, this makes a fairly clear statement that Jesus was in fact something special. What does the Quran testify about Muhammad? He was a messenger of Allah, a prophet, a servant of Allah, the seal or last of the prophets, a warner, a witness, a bearer of glad tidings, a reminder, a light-giving lamp, one who calls on Allah, one who invites to Allah, one who invites to a single God, the one who has brought the truth, a lawgiver, one who is to be obeyed, a mercy for all created beings, one possessed of an exalted standard of character, and an excellent example of conduct. Okay, there are two miracles that Muslims believe are attributed to Muhammad. One is the night journey, where he is in Mecca. He travels from Mecca to Jerusalem and ascends up to heaven and God. Most Muslims believe that this happened bodily. Some Muslims believe that it was in a dream. So anyhow, here's the quote. Exalted is he who took his servant by night from al-Masjid al-Haram to al-Masjid al-Aqsa, whose surroundings we have blessed to show him of our signs. Indeed, he is the hearing, the seeing. This is the second miracle that's attributed to Muhammad, and that is the splitting of the moon. A number of people in Islamic traditions claim to have seen this splitting of the moon. They witnessed it. It was a sign against the idolaters. The hour of the day of judgment has drawn near and the moon has been cleft asunder. Other Muslim scholars say, look, this entire chapter is talking about the day of judgment. It's very obvious. So there's a dispute. There are a number of quotes in the Quran that specifically say that Muhammad did not do any miracles. And the unbelievers say, why is not a sign sent down to him from his Lord? Why has not a treasure been sent down upon him or an angel come with him? You are only a warner. But they say, why are not signs sent down to him from his Lord? Say, the signs are only with Allah, and I am only a clear warner. What, is it not sufficient for them that we have sent down upon you the book that is recited unto them? So here the Quran is saying, the Quran is the greatest miracle. Muhammad didn't do miracles, but the revealing of the Quran is a miracle, and it's the greatest miracle. So that's what the Quran says about Muhammad. What does it say about Jesus? He is a prophet, a messenger, he's in the ranks of the righteous, he's blessed by Allah wherever he is, he's held in honor in this world and in the hereafter. He is of those nearest to Allah, he's adjoined upon by Allah with prayer and almsgiving as long as he lives. Peace was upon him the day he was born and the day he will die and the day he will be raised alive. He is a receiver of clear signs, miracles from Allah. He is a sign unto men and a mercy from Allah. He is a sign for all peoples. He is a word from Allah. He is a spirit from Allah. The Quran includes the story of the miraculous birth of John the Baptist. He is created by the decree of Allah. He is created through the Holy Spirit. He is born of a virgin. He is the Messiah. He is a holy, pure, righteous, blameless, faultless son. He is strengthened by Allah with the Holy Spirit. He was taught the book and the wisdom, the law and the gospel by God. He is a confirmer of the Torah, a lawgiver. He was given the New Testament by Allah. He miraculously spoke when he was an infant. He had clairvoyant abilities. He asked God for and received a table spread with food from heaven. He fashioned a bird out of clay and breathed life into it. He healed the blind. He cured the lepers. He gave the life to the dead. He is to be obeyed. He was raised up by Allah to himself, alive, and he will return to earth as a sign of the coming of the day of judgment. I think any Muslim who reads that could easily come to the conclusion that Jesus is, in fact, the greatest prophet. So, last one, we're almost there. Do the commandments of the Decalogue exist in the Quran? The author of the article in New Church Life said, not really. And if they do, they're kind of not very good laws. Okay, this is referring to the Ten Commandments. We wrote for him, Moses, on the tablets, an admonition concerning all things and an explanation of all things. Take them firmly and command your people to observe their most excellent teachings. The tablets, in the inscription of which there are guidance and mercy for those who fear their Lord. And certainly Allah made a covenant with the children of Israel. And remember when we made a covenant with you and caused the mountain to tower above you, saying, hold firmly to what we have given you and remember what is in it, that you may become pious. And mentioned in the book, Moses, truly he was chosen, and he was a messenger and a prophet. And we called to him from the blessed side of the mountain and made him draw near to us in mystic communion. We truly sent Moses with our revelations. And to Moses, Allah spoke directly. So those are all referring, or most of them at least, referring directly to the Ten Commandments. Here is one of two examples of an example of something that contains a lot of the Ten Commandments. Say, come and I will recite what your Lord has prohibited you from. Do not associate anything in worship with him. Be good and dutiful to your parents. Kill not your children because of poverty. Do not come near to lewd deeds. Slay not the life that Allah has made sacred. Do not approach the orphan's property except to improve it. Give full measure and weight with justice. Whoops. When you testify, be just, even if it concerns a near relative. And the covenant, yeah. Right. Sometimes the best people to cheat are your near relatives. And the covenant of Allah fulfill. Okay, here's a second example. We don't need to read it. It's basically the same thing. There is no exact duplicate of the Ten Commandments in the Quran. But here are single examples of basically all the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. Your Lord has decreed that you should worship none but him. Shun unclean idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And do not make Allah a target for your oaths. And remember the Sabbath day. And we said to him, do not violate the Sabbath. And we took from them a solemn covenant. Oops. Oops. O you who believe, when the call is heard for prayer on Friday, then proceed to the remembrance of Allah and leave off business. It is better for you if you only knew. Honor your father and your mother and do good to your parents. You shall not murder. He who slays such life as Allah has made sacred will not only meet punishment, but the penalty of the day of judgment will be doubled unto him. This is one of the three commandments where the penalty is doubled. I guess you get a double amount of fire. Polytheism, adultery, and murder. And he will dwell together then in hell in disgrace. and do not slay the life that Allah has made sacred. Here's an interesting one. We ordained for the children of Israel that if anyone slew a person, unless it be for murder or for spreading mischief in the land, it would be as if he slew all mankind. And if anyone saved a life, it would be as if he had saved the life of all mankind. A very nice quote. You shall not commit adultery, and do not even go near to adultery. It is an open vice in an evil way. You shall not steal. As for the thief, let their hands be cut off in retaliation for what they have done, a punishment from Allah. You shall not bear false witness, and they, the servants of Allah, do not testify falsely. You shall not covet, and do not covet what Allah has made some of you to excel with over others. If we look at the Joseph story, if you're a little bit creative, you can make a case that all 10 of the commandments are in the Joseph story. And you have to think about it a little bit and read the Quran. But anyhow, the Quran calls the Joseph story Asana al-Kasasi, which means the most beautiful of the stories. And Muslim commentators will say, oh, all the stories in the Quran are the most beautiful of stories. But the Joseph story is the most beautiful story in all the Quran. And in a sense, it really is a most beautiful story. Anyhow, to review, the God of the Quran is a God based on divine revelation. Swedenborg could have known about Islam. Swedenborg could have had access to the Quran. The Quran does teach that Jesus is the Son of God. The Quran does show that Jesus is the greatest prophet. The Quran does contain the commandments of the Decalogue. The heavenly doctrines are divinely inspired. If you're interested in learning the truth about Islam, read the heavenly doctrines. Thank you very much. Yeah. And whoever